Tonight to the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 7. I was just thinking about this week and thinking about giving thanks. And I like to preach on the offerings occasionally, and I do and I will. I like to preach on all the different the offerings and how God, what God had in mind and what He intended, and how we need to use the altar. Amen? How we need to use it and what it's for. It's not the same. Not the same. We don't. I try to find videos of anybody trying to give a. I wish somebody would do it. I don't. But so make a video of what it would really be like. To what they did and how they sacrificed those animals, and it probably wouldn't be able to play on YouTube anyway. But I'm sure there probably is somewhere out there, and I just there's a lot of things to that it's kind of a little left out when you read through I've just spent a lot of time studying because it's not as specific as we maybe think it is, and there are some specifics. But there's a lot of things that it's just left to the imagination, and certainly the priests were in charge of those things. But anyway, so tonight I just want to get started a little bit here in Leviticus chapter 7 and in verse 7. It says, as the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. And the priest that offereth any man's burnt offering, even the priest shall have to himself the skin of the burnt offering which he hath offered. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan, shall be the priest's that offereth it. And every meat offering, mingled with oil and dry, shall all the sons of Aaron have, one as much as another. We're going to look into this in just a moment, and so I want us to get started tonight with a word of prayer. Father, we're so very privileged to even stand in your presence and come before you this evening as really unworthy subjects, and yet, God, you've asked us to, and you've given us the place and the provision to actually even come into your presence, into your throne room, only by the offering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can we come before you, Lord, and we're so thankful for that tonight. And Lord, even as we give thanks tonight, we want to ask for your blessings on this time. Lord, would you speak to our hearts? Lord, I pray that you do something in our hearts that would help us to see where we are in our life and what it is that you'd expect from us and desire from us, and that we might even tonight desire to do that which pleases you, and in a way that would praise your name, lift up your name among men and even in our own lives. And Lord, we'll thank you for it now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. So number one is the offering for sin. So There was a way to say there's a way to say I'm sorry to God. That's what this is. It's a way to say, God, I'm sorry. It was the sin offering and the trespass offering. And so when the Israelite sinned, which they did often, amen, they did often, there was a way to take care of that sin, right? You listen, God provided a way to be able to restore their relationship to Him. Really, a way for them to truly just say, I'm sorry, and I want to turn away from my sin. I'm sorry doesn't mean like, yeah, I'm sorry. Not like that. But it says, I am sorry, God. I have transgressed. And if when we're truly confessing, if it's a true confession, it's accompanied with repentance. Right? You see that? Y'all with me tonight? Amen. So, I don't think we realize how wonderful the sin offering was. Without it, how would an Israelite ever be able to stand before God again? How would they ever be able to stand before the Lord another time without it? So sin offering was a wonderful thing. Though it was a bloody, gory, nasty shedding of blood, it was the wonderful opportunity to say to God, I'm sorry for my sin. But it was more than just saying I'm sorry. There was a process, right? There was a process that an individual would have to go through to prepare the offering. There was no insincere apologies taking place here. You understand? These weren't something like, yeah, whatever, I'm sorry, take my best lamb. Right? No. It was repentance. It was really seeing me for who I am and seeing God for who He is and realizing I'm wrong and I've got to go and make this right. I'm sorry is an important aspect of our communication with God. But there's another great aspect that I really want to focus on tonight. And that is to say, thank you. Look at verse 11. And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So number two is this, the offering for thanks. So we have the offering for sin, but then we also have the offering for thanks. So sometimes in our relationship and communication with God, we want to just say, thank you. Amen? We just want to say to God, thank you. Giving thanks is a continual part of the believer's role and the believer's life in Christ. That's, we find that throughout the Scriptures. We have so much to give thanks for, so much that God has done for us. So this idea and this opportunity to give thanks is so overwhelming to us. So we find this focus on giving thanks throughout the Scriptures, both in the Old and the New Testament. We find this constantly. We find King David constantly giving thanks to God. We find the Apostle Paul. We find it from one end to the other, this giving thanks. And we find it in Abraham. We find it all over the Scriptures, this giving thanks. We find it in Peter, right? We find it in everyone. We find it in Jesus Christ. Right? This thing of giving thanks. It's a constant and a continual part of the Christian's life. So God designed a way for the nation of Israel to be able to make their thanks. This is awesome. To be able to make their thanksgiving just as momentous and as distinctive and important as they would make an occasion to say, I'm sorry. You see, here's what happens. What we can do is we can get broken, right? Tears and shame and reproach upon ourselves because we've sinned and, oh God, I've sinned and I need to make this thing right, right? We've seen that with people. We see it with ourselves and, oh God, I'm just... And then we get over that and we're like, whew, man, I'm glad I could get that right. And then God does something wonderfully miraculous for us. And we're like, thank you, Lord. And so it's almost like we need the occasion of sin to make this really special occasion to approach God. So what do you want revival with? Sin and sorrow? Or blessings and thanks, Right? So God made this. I think this is what's awesome about this thing. We find out God made a way to say, listen, you don't have to wait till you're a mess to come to me. I mean, in a really special way. You don't have to wait till that. I'm not just talking about, listen, folks, we give thanks to God, and you know, we give thanks at every meal. And I'm not saying that kind of thanks ought to be this momentous, revival, instigating kind of thing. I think that's just give us our day. You know, we're just saying, God, I want to acknowledge you every time something goes in my lips. You know, I just want to acknowledge you, God. It's not the same thing. And sometimes, you know, we're going through our day and we have a thought that was kind of, you know, like maybe selfish or greedy or something. Oh, God, forgive me for that. We don't need to go kill a lamb over that. Right? And we don't need to maybe say, you know, I got to get to church to repent at the altar because I thought, you know, come on. But there are some things that we do in our life that cause something a little special. God does something for us in that way. And this is kind of what we're talking about. It was this opportunity God gave, and it was the peace offering. The offering that was given in a time of peace. Listen, not to seek God. Not to seek God's help. You hear what I'm saying to you? Not to seek God's help, nor to seek His forgiveness, but to simply thank Him for what He'd already done. I'm not coming for nothing else, God. Man, it's hard for us, isn't it? It's hard for us to just, God, I just want to say thank you. And while I'm thanking you, can you bless me some more with this other thing? You know what I mean? Isn't that hard? I mean, by the way, don't feel bad about that because God wants us to do that too. I'm just saying, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here and say, you know, I should just think. No, God wants you to pray and ask Him about fixing you all the time. Don't ever think for a moment, well, I just feel bad. I'm always going to God to ask Him for stuff. That's what He wants. You have not because you. So don't say, I really don't want to go ask God anymore. Well, you've sinned. Now you got to go do the other thing. No, but what I'm saying is listen, but this is hard for us to see. This is just a thing that was just something's going on. And said, God, I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you. Typically, it was in response to some particular blessing. Of healing or some victory of some sort, or maybe some whatever the situation was. It was something, usually something quite particular that God had did. But in this sense, it was totally something that was at the spontaneous desire of the individual. Keep your place here if you got one of these strings or a card or something in there, and turn over to Leviticus chapter 18. Let's go to chapter 18. I want you to see this here, just a quick verse here to see what I'm talking about. Chapter 18 and verse 5. Chapter 19 and verse 5. That was not what I was looking at. Chapter 19 and verse 5. He says, and if you offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your what? Own will. At your own will. Okay? So, we would call this a free will offering. Alright? The free will offering, the peace offering, or even the thanksgiving offering, as sometimes it's referred to in this, was not a requirement, but a gift that was given unto the Lord. Can I say this? Unsolicited? I mean, when I say unsolicited, it'd be kind of weird to say it's completely unsolicited when God said, hey, here's a way that you come thank me. You know, hey, you want to thank me? I say this, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek here, so don't. We were in a church in Sioux City, Iowa for about a year. And I had the thing I would just kind of joke about all the time. It just became a thing. I joked about loving bacon. And you know, kind of what I would say, you know, if you really want to thank me, you'd bring me a pound of bacon. Well, for my birthday, I had more bacon than a guy ought to eat. Do you know what I mean? And I think it caused me to have cardiac. No, I'm just, but what I'm saying is, listen, here's what God said. You want to thank me? Here's how you're going to do it. Okay? But God said, this isn't a requirement to be right with me. This is when you get overwhelmed with that desire to give God thanks. Here's what you do. So it's a free will offering. you ever been required to give a gift? you know, like a gift that you were maybe compelled to give because it was appropriate or expected, right? You know, like, oh man, we got to give a gift. I'm terrible with this. I'll be quite honest. I got to give a gift, you know. And these gifts, they can feel more like a tax than a gift. You know what I mean? Like, you may enjoy the benefits of what you receive by giving this tax because, like, I have to give this, and but you know, it's part of my, maybe it's part of my job, maybe it's part of my relationship, or maybe it's part of this, whatever. But you're not really moved to be thankful is why you gave it, right? Often these are like last minute, pick up on the way kind of gift, right? So in Sri Lanka, there's this thing there. It's just the culture. If you go to somebody's house, you bring a gift. Well, nobody told us that. Nobody told us that. We didn't know that rule. You know, how do you know that rule? Nobody tells you those kind of rules. And so we, our very first Christmas in Sri Lanka, and this is where our Christmas really went from just a normal Christmas to ridiculous Hobby Lobby exploding kind of Christmas, is our first Christmas. We got to Sri Lanka at the beginning of November, and we like said, we got to do something to reach people. So we thought we're going to invite people over for come experience an American Christmas. So we invited them over, and I said, let's plan on 100 chicken legs, because we didn't have turkey. So we did chicken legs and stuffing and mashed potatoes and green beans and stuff like that. We had sweet carrots because we couldn't get no sweet potatoes. So most people didn't like any of our food, but that's all right. We gave them a plate. We used up all 100 chicken legs. We should have did 200. I don't know. But anyway, our whole neighborhood, we just went out and gave out flyers, and they all came, and everyone that came, and we had gifts for the kids, and we had plate of a baked good. They loved our sweets. They did love our sweets. And so we had a plate of baked goods we gave to every family that came, and we had toys we gave to the kids. And so every family that came brought a gift. I'm like, what? What are y'all doing bringing a gift? We had just a ton of, we just put them under the tree and tell people, yeah, put it under the tree. I don't know what to do with it. You know, all these. And so these gifts, some of them were pretty neat. I had one, there's this big old, I don't know if it was a parrot, eagle, seagull, I mean, kind of thing. We had different things, and some gave us a brass lamp that wouldn't shed light. I don't know, some weird things. But one of our neighbors, it was a flower pot. I mean, used flower pot that they literally went out of their house, pulled the flowers out, wrapped up the flower pot. You know, I'm thinking about one of those last-minute gifts that you're on your way. A common gift in Sri Lanka was a papaya, the cheapest fruit in the country. And on your way, you'd stop by a locale, which is a little shop, and you'd grab a papaya, they'd wrap it up in newspaper, and that's what you'd give is that you'd walk in the house and you'd give this gift. And so it's just such a weird, it's not a thankful gift. It's just a gift that, you know, it's a tax. I'm coming to your house, I got to give this so you don't talk about me after I leave. That type of thing. But so there's that kind of gift versus the thought through, planned on, specifically purchased gift that's individualized. You ever wanted to get a gift for somebody, and you went and you're trying to think about them, and you're trying. Katie does this. Katie is a gift giver. And when she gives gifts, she goes, and it's always ridiculous. She'll go and have all this, and it's like, I got this, and got this little bag, and for her kids, and all this. And then sometimes, but you're going to find somebody, you're going to think, I know what they like. They like this. And so everybody thought I was in love with bacon, so everybody gave me bacon. But, you know, you're thinking through this thing, and it's a plan, is what I'm getting at. It's a plan. There's something about that. I want you to notice something about this Thanksgiving offering. Back in chapter 7, Leviticus chapter 7, I want you to notice about this Thanksgiving offering. Verse 12 again. He says, and if he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So number three is this, the offering of cake. Look, listen, when I say food and fellowship is biblical, I'm telling the truth. Amen? It's biblical. And cake. I mean, it's not chocolate cake, but might as well be. We find here in this verse three forms of cakes that were to be prepared. These were all to be prepared in a different way, each to be specifically prepared. Unleavened cakes mingled with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. So there's a lot of symbolism in these cakes, but most of it is to be inferred much more than it is specifically spelled out in the Scriptures. I know I'm talking about the symbolism, meaning this. We understand that leaven was a substance that represented what? Sin, right? Leaven, it was a symbol of sin in the Scriptures. Therefore, any offering that was to be presented before the Lord on the altar could not have this illustration of sin in it. Okay, because it's a picture of sin. Now, is sin itself evil? I'm sorry, is leaven itself evil? I sure hope not. Because I like yeast bread. Amen? Guess who else liked yeast bread? They did. That's why he said, no, don't do yeast bread like you'd normally do here. Because wouldn't you think, would you rather have a cracker or yeast bread? Yeast bread, right? You know, the smell of yeast. You ever smell crackers cooking? No. Smell like burnt toast or something. You know what I'm saying? But if you smell yeast bread, there was in our church in Nebraska, there was a bread bakery across the, you know, it's quite a ways away, but it's across this big road. And I'm telling you, you go up there, I'm just hungry for bread. Just smelling it, just. So can I say that they like yeast bread too? So it's not that the yeast was evil, but it was used as an illustration, a symbolism of sin. So it was a picture or a demonstration of what leaven does. Leaven grows, right? It eats up what's inside. Leaven feeds off of the sugar and different things in there. It fills the inside with air. Right? It pops up. It's a picture of man being overcome with sin. We find that in the New Testament as well. A little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump. So we find this that he said, don't get any of that in there because it's going to take over and it's going to puff up. It's going to do all these things. So don't use leaven in the symbolism of offering to God. So that's the one thing we find. But there's also there is the oil. So oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. All three of the forms of cakes were to be offered with oil. The first was to be mingled with oil, possibly representing the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And as I kind of researched this, I researched this quite a bit. What I find, the idea of this mingled with oil is probably more of a kneading it with oil. Really getting it mingled in there, and so it's probably is a representation of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. The second was to be anointed, or the word anointed means to be spread upon in that way upon the wafers, which were thin cakes. Okay, representing the anointing, which is often the approval or the power of the Holy Spirit upon them. You see that? Usually for a moment or something like this. But then the third was to be mingled with oil and fried. And the idea is to be well soaked in the oil. Possibly a reference to our life being saturated by the Spirit of God through and through in this kind of way. You say tonight, why do you say things like possibly? Maybe or possibly. Well, listen. The Scriptures give us pictures of symbolism, but the Scripture intentionally stops short of making the process what was taking place the spiritual power. Okay. So what I'm saying is, listen, man has a tendency to want to do something to get something. So we do. I'm doing this to get this. And so when even what they're doing is then they're going through the process, it's not the process that's given the picture. It's the picture, right? So we're doing this thing, such as baptismal regeneration or transubstantiation, whereby one actually receives salvation by baptism or through taking communion. These are false things, but some believe, and what they've done, they said by getting baptized, that's where salvation kind of finishes up. No. That's bad. What we call baptismal. Well, now we do. They call it baptismal regeneration, because this is what man wants to say is the actual symbolism is actually the power of it. No. Same thing with those that the transubstantiation says that Jesus Christ actually comes into that wafer and you eat it. I'm eating Christ. It's gross. It's just weird. And then the Lutherans kind of twist a little bit. It's consubstantiation. They make, well, he doesn't really go in there. He just spiritually goes. And so they just kind of lighten it. It's this strange thing. But at the end of the day, what folks want to do, by the way, when I say folks, I mean people like you and I. We have a tendency to say, I'm doing this to get this. This is where we really mess up doctrine. We mess up truth in the Word of God, because we say, I'm doing this to get something. And when we remove that out of there, we realize all it's doing is it's a picture. You see, the symbolism of these things is to cause us to contemplate what God has already done and what He is doing in our lives. It's a picture of that. It's a picture. Our relationship with Him should not be in religious rituals or actions. Listen, I'm just saying, listen, the most spiritual time, the most spiritual service that we have ought not necessarily be our communion service. Listen, our most spiritual time shouldn't just be when we have a baptism. It's not based on, no, those are wonderful things, because they're talking about something that's happened, right? They're talking about something that's going on and something that's happened in somebody, but our relationship is not based on rituals or some kind of actions like that. Those things should be an outward representation of what God's already done internally. At any rate, the preparation of each of these three cakes was to be specific and unique. Each one was done a little bit different. Matter of fact, up there he just says in verse 9, he says, and all the meat offering, which I know it's weird, you're like, cakes is the meat offering? Yeah. The meat is not the meat offering, but the cakes is the meat offering. Figure that out later. But that's what it means here, verse 9. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven, and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan shall be the priest that offereth it. So each one was done a little bit different. It was designed to be a special thing. This wasn't something done as an afterthought or on the way to the tabernacle. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Man, I tell you, you know what they had? Preparation. It was a thank you. Worth saying. Thought through. You ever had somebody come up with a really great idea. I mean, it's just a revolutionary idea. And they said, yeah, I was thinking about this, you know, this morning. How about you go think about it a little bit longer before we, like, change everything for something you've spent, like, 12 minutes thinking about? Right? When David was going to acquire the land where the temple was going to be built, that fellow there, can't recall his name, anybody know? He was asking for that. He said, I'll give that to you, that land. And David said, no, I'm not going to present to the Lord that which cost me nothing. He said, no, it's going to be something. So it's a thank you worth saying. Maybe we would call it this way, a heartfelt thank you. Not a tax kind of thank you that was done out of obligation, but a preparation of each cake as if it was being set directly before the Lord. Because it was. Now the priests and actually the offerer would partake of that, but it was presented to the Lord. That's what he said. And so could you imagine with me tonight? What might have accompanied that preparation? See, if I want to give thanks to somebody, right, for something that they did, I'm moved with a heartfelt spirit to give them thanks. You know what I'm doing? I'm thinking about what they did. And so here it is. It's not just, hey, I just want to say thank you. And listen, it was more than that. I want to say thank you. There's a lot of little things in our life that we do that. Sometimes it's something a little bit bigger. And imagine what might have accompanied that preparation in the way of tears. Just thinking, oh, God, has God ever blessed you so well? Just thinking about it just brought tears on your face. You just think, wow, God. And you almost want to just think about it for a while. Like, what are you crying about? Oh, man, it's just, man, it's overwhelming. The joy that's accompanying the, the kneading of these wafers, the making, the wafers you're making, just making these things. And we got that one, and you finished it, and you set that there, and you get working on the next one. And you know, you're just thinking about it. Wow, what God is, why you're doing it, because nobody told you to do this. The overflow of, the tears, the joy, the overflow of praise. You ever given a gift like that? That you thought about what the receiver meant to you when you were seeking the gift, preparing the gift, thinking about them? Like, no, I ain't never given that. No, listen. I believe the whole concept of this Thanksgiving offering was not only an outflow of what God filled us with, but also a continual rehearsing of that praise in the preparation. What I mean is, it's not just, hey, God, I want to give you thanks. I'm going to give you something that's going to cost me. But it's the whole process of thinking, man, what this is just amazing what God has done for me. It's a whole rehearsing of that thing in our heart and our mind. I want us to notice one more thing about this tonight before we finish up. It's quite an interesting addition here. Look at verse 13. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering, what does that say? Leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offerings. Just messed everything up right there. And then like you got, I think I got this Bible figured out. And then something else jumps in and you're like, I like that kind of, I kind of like that kind of stuff. I like it because it caused me to say, wow, things aren't always the way I think they is. You know? How strange is this? It's the only place we find leaven being included in any kind of offering unto the Lord. Leaven is now added in there. I mean, we already mentioned how leaven was a picture of sin. It's not supposed to be there. So what meaneth this leaven here? What's it doing here? I'd like to say I'm going to tell you exactly why. Wouldn't that be awesome if I could just tell you exactly why? But the Scripture doesn't give us the exactly why. I've spent much time this week trying to figure out exactly why and see what other people thought exactly why, but all I would find is other people skirting around it. Don't you love that? The part that I need help with, everybody else does too. But there's two ideas. I want to share these thoughts, two ideas. One is that the leaven is a representation of man. That we can give this thanksgiving even though we're not perfectly sinless. Right? I like this idea. I think it points out that none will ever be perfect enough to have arrived. Right? But along with that, we don't have to wait. Listen, oh, if I could get this through to us tonight, is this. We don't have to wait until we get everything in our life perfect before we come before the Lord with thanksgiving. Listen, we could still be a mess. And God's done something to just wipe up a part of us, you know. Help, and we say, God, I just want to, in a really special way, say thank you for that. I got a lot of work to do, God, but I want to thank you for what you've done. That's all right, folks. We don't have to. Somehow we get in our heads that I've got to be perfect. before I could come to God. And when does perfection come? Not this side of heaven. I don't know if we're going to get on the other side of heaven and be perfect either. But we certainly aren't going to be here. So I don't. So that's a good idea. I think maybe the second thought, idea of the leaven of the leavened bread is simply just this. It was good to eat. It's actually leavened bread is a picture of joy or celebration. It's a picture of an abundance. This Thanksgiving offering was one that was to be eaten by the priests as well as the offerer. This was a time of celebration. Unleavened bread was a picture of affliction, right? And so I just say, what really is it? I don't know. But it could be some of those things. It could be something else. There's something different about this. It's the time of rejoicing. It's time of celebrating. It's not a time of weariness and we afflict ourselves and rent our clothes. And no, it's a time of rejoicing in what God's done for us. Wonderful time. Here's the conclusion tonight. Giving thanks should have the power and presence and celebration and preparation. It shouldn't be an afterthought, but a purposeful presentation unto the Lord. We often think of the altar, and what we call the altar. We don't really have an altar. We altar is where you burn things, or sacrifice things. We don't have that, but we have. You know, what we kind of represent as an altar, a place to go and put, a place that we come and say, God, I want to lay this on the altar. I want to surrender this thing, right? We're not surrendering our bulls and our sheep and our turtle doves. We're surrendering something in my life, maybe a piece of me. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a dedication. Maybe it's a commitment. Maybe it's, maybe what we want is, but we think about this altar as a place to repent. God, I haven't done what I ought to do. So I'm going to come to this altar and I'm going to say, God, I'm going to lay myself on the altar and say, God, please forgive me. By the way, I think it's a much better representation than blood. The blood's already been spilt. And now we're coming to say, because of that blood, God, forgive me that I've trampled on the name of Christ. Think of the altar in that way, and we should think of it that way. But our altar is also a place to come and say to God, thank you. Can our thank you be as powerful as our, I'm sorry? I think it can. I think it should. I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to exhort us as a church, as a body. I'd like to encourage us in this way. I'd like us to say, we're not commanded. They weren't commanded to do it either. But maybe it ought to be something that we make it special in our lives to come and say, God, I want to just come. When God does something in your life that's noteworthy to you, it doesn't necessarily need to be. I don't think everything needs to be out, but something would say, God would come and say, God, I just want to say thank you. Do you think that Thanksgiving offering was a pretty momentous occasion? They were sacrificing their animals. I mean, when I say sacrificing, literally sacrificing, but also giving them up. And something they could have saved for the occasion that when they were going to sin, or even for the annual there was other sin and atonement they had to just give on an annual basis. Could have saved it for that. Said, you know what? I was saving this for my sin. I've got some of these for my sin, and man, I hope I don't blow it. I just so want to give thanks to God. There's a sacrifice. And they brought it in front of the congregation and did that thing. And it's interesting. A lot of these sin offerings were completely burned up. But the peace offerings, there was things that remained, pieces that remained that were consumed. Reading some of these things, that the priest probably would have been more thankful for the peace offerings. They would have been thankful for thankful people. Let's all stand together tonight. Father, I do pray that you'd help us tonight. And Lord, I know, Lord, we got here a thankful people. We certainly. And yet, Lord, I pray that you would help us to let our thankful heart manifest into an occasion of revival, a momentous moment in our life that we would really dedicate a moment of time to just come and say, God, I want to just give you thanks for that thing. And Lord, I don't, certainly you don't require this of us, nor did you require it of them. It's a free will offering. Yet, Lord, I pray that we would not just be a unprepared, thankful people, but we would be those that would say through the week, I want to go to that altar this Sunday, and I want to give God thanks. Not because we have to, not because it's even written that way, but Lord, we would try to find an opportunity, an occasion to make this place a place where we spark some revival and reconditioning our own hearts. Lord, would you have your will and way tonight? It's time of invitation, and we'll give you thanks.